Proverbs 16, verses 16 through 20, these are God's words. How much better to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding is to be chosen rather than silver. The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He who keeps his way preserves his soul. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. He who heeds the word wisely will find good, and whoever trusts in Yahweh, happy is he. So in these five verses, the Lord reminds us of what we should treasure and where we should find safety, and that is in the Lord and his word, which is what true wisdom is. True wisdom is not being clever enough to handle everything yourself. That's pride. That's what goes before destruction. That's the haughty spirit that goes before the fall. True wisdom is knowing the Lord himself is your only hope. You see that in the conclusion of this section. Whoever trusts in Yahweh, happy is he. So if you know the Lord himself is your only hope, then you see his word as something that is above you, something that he uses to preserve you, and you submit to the word. He who heeds the word, first half of verse 20, he who heeds the word wisely will find good, and whoever trusts in Yahweh, happy is he. So, if wisdom is the best treasure and the strongest protection, then that should be what we desire. Now, you don't really value silver and gold very much. You're not like people of the day that Solomon lived in who were constantly thinking how to acquire silver or gold. You might think dollars, but you guys probably don't think that way too much. Maybe some of you think about dollars a lot. But you can discern, you can pay attention to what you are thinking in your heart and desiring, what you spend a lot of thoughts on how to get, or what you can get more of that thing, and realize whether or not the Lord himself, him being your treasure, your pleasure, your protection, is something you're spending a lot of time thinking about. Now, if we desire wisdom the way that verse 16 is training us to desire wisdom, then we will constantly be mulling over what we have heard from God's word, because that's what he uses in our life. And we will be mulling over him, thinking upon him, and how he is the one who is teaching us these things, and how he has made himself our righteousness in Jesus, and his love is what makes us able to have blessing instead of wrath, which is what we would deserve in ourselves. But upon those who in ourselves would have been objects of everlasting wrath, he has made us objects of everlasting love, because he doesn't consider us in ourselves. He considers us in Christ. He has loved us in Christ from before the world began, and chosen us in Christ from before the world began. And so we'll be thinking much on him, and how wonderful he is, and how wonderful it is to belong to him, and how we ought to love him and serve him, to whom we belong, with everything that we do. Now, obviously, this is a difficult thing, even as we saw yesterday in Colossians, when the apostle was praying for something similar for the Colossians. He prayed that they would be strengthened with all might according to the Lord's power. So we see that this is something for which we must depend upon the Holy Spirit to give us these desires, to grow us in these desires. But it is a good reminder in verse 16 of what the growing Christian is becoming like, desiring the Lord himself in his word, with his wisdom, more than anything else. And that's exactly what Jesus was like, right? When Satan comes to tempt him and says, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread, implying that Jesus was missing out on something, not because he didn't have silver or gold, but for 40 days he hadn't tasted food. The Lord Jesus was content with his Father and with his Father's word. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, that which he desired the most, knowledge of and delight in, dependence upon his Father, the Lord Jesus had by means of every word that proceeded from God's mouth. So we can rejoice to know that those for whom this righteousness of Jesus has been counted, likeness to Jesus is being worked in us. And so this is what the Holy Spirit is making us like. And one day when the work is finished, we will be like this. So even now, let's pay attention to that life, that inner thought life of our hearts, and what it is that we are dwelling upon and desiring. But it's not just the most pleasant way, the most desirable. The Lord himself and his word, the wisdom that we get by fearing him from his word, it's not just the most pleasant or desirable thing, it's also the most protective thing. The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. Well, you are accustomed to thinking of the highway as the road with the extra lanes and the exits and where people go fast and where we can always drive on the far left because we have so many people in our car all the time. The highway for them was the way that is safe, not down through the valleys where there's a bunch of places that robbers could hide, but along the top ridge where if a robber was trying to jump up to you, you would already have the high ground, and where, you know, robbers generally wouldn't hang out. Anyway, so the highway is that safe path. Maybe you remember Dr. Beakey using that Puritan phrase a couple of times, I think, in his talks at the Family Bible Conference. The highway of God's holiness. Describing it not as something that we do to earn or to be worthy, rather, in ourselves. God does reward us for by grace, according to Christ, even though our holy actions aren't worthy in themselves. But the highway of God's holiness reminds us that he's given us the best place to walk, the best way to walk, the safest place to walk. Now, that's exactly what we see here. The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. The safest place is to walk according to God's word. He who keeps his way preserves his soul. So, if you want to be in the safest path of life, you live according to the words of God. You obey his commandments. He's trying to keep you safe. He loves you. Just as you have often, I'm sure, perhaps with a little brother or sister or some other child from another family, given them some instruction because you say, no, go this way. And what are you doing? You're trying to help them, aren't you? And if they knew your affection for them and love for them and wisdom about the safest place to go, then they would walk in that way, and they don't walk in that way, or they don't do the thing you said, and you're frustrated. Well, ought we not to be frustrated with ourselves if we disobey the Lord? Is there anyone who so loves us, or is so wise, so earnestly, and has given us direction in the right way? So it's not just walking with the Lord in dependence upon him by following his word isn't just the most desirable thing, it's also the safest thing. The alternative, as we remember from chapter 3, is to lean on our own understanding. Either you trust in the Lord with all your heart, or you lean on your own understanding. Trusting in the Lord with all your heart means in all of your ways know him, and he will direct your steps. But leaning on your own understanding means doing things according to your own cleverness. That's the way to get destroyed. That is not the highway of the upright. That's full speed ahead right through the barricade that says bridge out, and you plummet to your demise. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than divide the spoil with the proud. So the proud are counting up their silver and their gold from verse 16, and they have not received the instruction that wisdom would have been better than that silver and gold. And you're like, ooh, I want to be with them and count silver and gold too. and you are about to be destroyed. So thank God for his mercy that he's given us Christ, who has these things perfectly for us. And let us see the love and wisdom of our God, the kindness of his good commandments, and think much upon his word and what he says, so that instead of living according to our own cleverness and ending up desiring the wrong things and going the wrong way and plummeting to our destruction, we would live according to his words, enjoying fellowship with him, enjoying dependence upon him, and enjoying the safety of that highway of his holiness. May God grant to us to be God-obsessed, Christ-obsessed, Scripture-obsessed, good theology-obsessed people, rather than all the other things that can fill our thoughts and desires. Let's ask him to do that. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this portion of your word. We thank you that you gave your Son to be a man, that he was made like us in every way except without sin, so that he is the wise man indeed, although he is foolishness to Greeks and stumbling block to Jews. You have made him for us not only your wisdom and righteousness, sanctification, and power, or you have made him all of those things for us, and you have made him our wisdom, that the wisest thing is to abandon any hope in ourselves and hope only in Christ, and belong to you through him, for you have given the Lord of glory himself to be crucified for us. So we pray that you would make us to treasure Christ for all of that he is for us, and even as our wisdom. Help us, Lord, to love your word. We pray that your Spirit would keep bringing your word to mind, that he would give us a soft heart, that we would neither quench the Spirit nor grieve the Spirit, that we wouldn't get cold and dull and unfeeling towards you in our thoughts, but that we would be tender and lively and submissive to you as the Spirit brings your word to mind. Grant unto us to be those who walk with you as beloved children, taught by your Spirit, trusting in Jesus, having fellowship with you. O God, how much more I wish I would have done of these things, and I have only myself to blame. But I pray for my children that you would work in them and grant them a diligence and consistency in walking with you, that they would have less to regret when they come into the season where I am. Bless to them this portion of your word, we ask, by your almighty Spirit. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.